Thank you, Brother Miss Stevenson. I appreciate that. Let us take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 7. And in just a moment, I want to begin reading in verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7. So grateful that you're here today, and so grateful to be back in the house of the Lord with you. And we missed being here, but you know, I am thankful that my wife and I can go away and be alone and be together and actually like to be together, you know? And it was a great reminder that we do love one another and we like one another and we enjoy being in each other's presence. We just had a great time together. And our first flight out of Columbus, we headed into Minneapolis, and of course we were on the plane and they were, you know, they come through, take care of you and all that. And I was so happy about our 25th and all that. I said something to the person attending to us. And at the end of the plane, as we just landed in Minneapolis area, they said, "And folks, we have traveling with us today, the Samples. They're celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. Let's give them all a round of applause," you know. So we enjoyed that. And as we exited the plane, that was pretty special. And so it was just great to be together. And we were very thankful. I will tell you this. We were in Canada. And one day we were at a place called Lake Louise, a beautiful place, if you've ever seen it. But we were there and we were waiting on a shuttle to get to Lake Louise. And we were just walking around areas where you can walk. And well, the next day we were back in that area going to Moraine Lake, which is a different lake, beautiful area. And about 20 yards from us was the biggest grizzly bear I'd ever seen in my life. And my wife said, "Honey, we were just walking there yesterday." I said, "I know." And but we were in a car at that point, so it was good. And the park ranger was there getting ready to take care of the bear. And there were people that were obviously walking out there. They were in the park ranger's truck, scared to death. And I think they came up on that bear. And so that's the first time I've been that close to a grizzly bear in the wild. And so we got to see all kinds of neat things. And but we're back safe and sound. And so we are thankful. My boys were home for a week by themselves. And the house is still standing, I want you to know. All right. And so they did a good job. And course, they were at camp. Of course, Caleb is an intern here this summer. He'll be preaching tonight, and then the teenager is going to be giving testimonies tonight. So it's going to be a special evening. I pray that you can be here and be a part of that, and we thank the Lord for His goodness. As we come to Matthew chapter number 7, we are coming to a parable in God's Word. Now, the word parable, it has the idea of something that is cast alongside. And the Lord Jesus often spoke in parables. Now, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a story that the Lord Jesus would give. And the purpose of the parable was it was to teach one central thought. And the Lord Jesus would use often parables. He would use the trees. He would use a bird. He would use many different, what we would say, illustrations to get across the point of what He was trying to say. And in Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus once again is speaking in parables. And He cast this parable alongside so that His followers, those that are listening to Him, will catch one central spiritual theme. And this morning, I want to give you this parable. And I want to preach you on this subject, the hearers and the doers. Now, what are you today? Are you a hearer of God's Word? Or are you a doer of God's Word? Now, we understand that all of us are going to hear the Word of God. By the way, I've gone to lots of preaching services. I'm sure that you have gone to probably thousands of preaching services where you have heard the Word of God. But can I ask you something? How much of it are you doing? How much of it are you obeying the Lord? Well, God has something to say about the hearers and the doers. Let's come to Matthew chapter 7 and let us begin, if you would please, in verse number 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now let me stop before I read on and give the parable. The Lord Jesus, in a sense, is breaking up all religions into two categories. There is the part that says everything has been done and has been accomplished by the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is done. But then there are religions that say, you must do something. Folks, can I tell you something? Everything has been accomplished to purchase your salvation, and Jesus did it on the cross. Everything has been done. There is nothing to be added to it. There is nothing for us to do to obtain our salvation. Some people think, well, I've got to be baptized in order to be saved. That's not true. I've got to do some good things. I've got to get rid of some sin in my life. That's not true. Everything has been done by the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We must simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, depend upon Him, and rest upon His finished work. But there are other religions that teach you must do something. And the Bible is giving us this few verses here that there will be many that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? I mean, the Bible says that there will be people who are preachers like myself who never knew the Lord Jesus Christ, but were depending on their works. We're depending on their good deeds. We're depending on what they could accomplish in their own strength, that the Bible says the Lord will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Now, brethren, please understand that if you are a child of God this morning and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're part of the family of God, and nothing can take you out of God's family. Nothing. The Bible is clear on that subject. But brethren, there are some. You know, I believe in every church across America, and maybe in every church across this world, there are people who come to church every Sunday. They do good things. They might be good moral people, but they are not trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. They are trusting in their good deeds. They're trusting in maybe they think their good will outweigh their bad one day. And can I tell you something? They are on their way to hell because they are not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you today, no matter what people may think of you, no matter what you think of yourself, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, turn to Him today. Trust in Jesus today, and I promise you, He will save you from your sin debt. We read on here, and the Bible gives us this parable in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now in our passage and in this story here, we find those that hear and obey and those that hear and do not obey. In fact, in this story, we find something to be true. And brethren, I want you to mark this down, and I want you to put this in your heart and mind. What we find in Matthew chapter 7 is that everyone is building. Do you know that this morning you are building? You are building your life. And let me put it to you this way. You are building a foundation. You are building. I am building. And by the way, what we do with the Word of God when it is given to us, when we read it, has everything to do with our foundation. Now, by the way, we find in this story that there were two types of life. And by the way, do you know that God does not put the emphasis on the building materials that was used to be built? I'm sure that the materials were very nice. These men that were building these houses, one built upon the sand. And guess what? The storms came and the floods came. And the Bible says that the house fell, and great was the fall of it. But the man who built upon the rock, the same storms came, the same winds came, the same rain came, and the floods came. But the house stood firm, because it was built on the right foundation. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What kind of foundation are you building today? You say, well, Pastor, I come to church. That's wonderful. But do you hear and do you obey? Because if you are coming to church and you do not obey the Word of God, you are not building on a good foundation. By the way, do you know that storms will come? My wife and I, as we had this time to be together, and we talked a lot about the last 25 years. And honestly, it is hard for me to even imagine that we've been married for 25 years. It's been wonderful, but can I tell you something? It has not been without its trials. Look, if you look at us and think that we have a perfect marriage, then you are wrong. Because there is no couple on the face of the earth that has a perfect marriage. But can I tell you something? There have been storms and trials that have come into our life. And by the way, there's nothing you can do about the storms and trials. They are going to come. But it is going to matter what foundation you are built upon. You know, in fact, this second honeymoon for my wife and I, in some sense, was more meaningful than our first honeymoon. You know, our first honeymoon, we're just getting to know one another. Everything is somewhat bliss. You understand what I'm saying? Everything, you're just beginning your life together. You've not really encountered any storms together. But this time for us to be together, we rejoiced and we wept together and we prayed together and thanked God for His mercy and His grace and on our lives, because there's been times of great trials and struggles and hardships and confusion and all kinds of things that we have encountered. But can I tell you something? The foundation that we are trying to build is not a foundation built on me or built on her. It is built on the rock, Jesus Christ Himself. You see, that is the only foundation. And brethren, if you build on anything else other than Jesus Christ, His truth, His righteousness, His holiness, everything else is sand and it will not last. It will not last. You see, sometimes we think of people's lives and you think, man, what happened to their life? And they got so off track in their life. Can I tell you what happened to their life? Little by little, they were building on a faulty, a weak foundation in their life. They heard the Word of God, but they did not obey. They heard the teaching of God's Word, but they did not obey. They did not follow what God had for them. You know that my wife and I, and of course she posted things about our special ceremony, and it was great to hear from so many people. We heard from young people that were in our teen group back when I was just a youth pastor, and that was many years ago. And it was great to hear from some of those young people and to say to us, I'm so thankful that you all are still in love and you love one another. And, you know, it began to make me think upon young people that had come through the teen group. And you know what? They all heard the same things. They all heard the same messages. They went to the same camps. They had the same activities. But why is it that some of them are following Jesus Christ to this day? And they're living for Jesus Christ. And they're knowing the joy of serving Jesus. But some of them, their lives have been literally destroyed. Now, God is in the business of restoring lives. We know that. But many of them have made decisions after decision, and they have chosen to deny Christ. And I think, what has happened? Can I tell you what the difference is? It is the foundation. It is that they heard and they obeyed and they built on the right foundation. Brethren, I want you to check your foundation this morning. I want you to look at the foundation of your life. I want you to think about your foundation right now. This is you and God, and are you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Now, I believe in our passage, the Lord is bringing us to look at the foundation. And by the way, our refuge is always in the foundation. Here are these two men. One built on the sand. He no doubt had a beautiful house. It was done with meticulous care, but he built on sand, shifting sand, sand that moves and sand that changes and sand that does not withhold the storms of life. But here was this other man, a beautiful house, no doubt, but he built on the rock. He built on a foundation that does not move. He built on a foundation that will withstand the trials and the testings of life and the discouraging times and the disappointing times of life. This house fell and this house stood. Why? Because the refuge of life is always in our foundation. You see, I believe that both houses look safe, but one was not safe. Both houses looked secure, but one house was not secure. And you know something? There are people today that I believe that maybe they come to church and maybe they put a smile upon their face. And I think we all should. And maybe they appear that everything is well, but deep in their heart, they are building on a weak, faulty foundation because they are hearing the Word of God and they are not obeying. Number one, I want you to notice the person speaking. Now, you know something? This passage means a great deal because of the person speaking. Jesus Christ himself is the one speaking. And by the way, you know, when people heard Jesus speak, there was no misunderstanding of his words. Why? Because the Bible says that he spoke with authority. You know what that meant? It meant that when he spoke and when he was finished, they knew what Christ had said. He had drawn the line in the sand. He had said, "Thus saith the Lord." He spoke with authority. By the way, can I encourage you with something? You ought to thank God for any preacher who is willing to preach and teach the unchangeable truths of God's word. Because when he preaches the truth of God's word, he preaches with authority. Not because of him, not because of some good deed about him, but the man will preach with authority. Can I encourage you as parents? Do you know that parents, we only really speak with authority when we speak the truth of God's word to our kids? They need God's word. They don't need human reasoning or human wisdom. They need the truth of God's word because they are building a foundation. By the way, can I encourage you with this? There was a time in my life when I had built on a terrible foundation. I had built on my desires. I had built on my wants and my wishes. And I had not built right. And there was a time when I had to come before God, even as a Christian, and say, "God, I don't have a good foundation. I'm not thinking right. I don't have the right ideals about life. I don't have the right ideal about what life is about." And I asked the Lord to tear down my foundation. And from that day forward, I began with God's help to build on the foundation, the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you this. I have slipped. I have fallen. I have stumbled many times. But I'm thankful that even in the midst of that, the foundation is still secure because the foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, in fact, the Bible says that a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know why he riseth up again? Because his foundation is right. His foundation is built. And Jesus is speaking here with authority. Now, by the way, let me say this to you. And I want you to hear me out this morning. We live in an age that talks about tolerance. We live in an age today that glorifies tolerance, that, whoa, we need to be tolerant today. Now, brethren, I believe we ought to have compassion. I believe we ought to have love. We ought to have the kindness of Christ about all of us. But can I tell you really that the age of tolerance is an unwillingness to draw the line where God draws the line. It's really an ideal of saying, wait a minute. We're not going to draw the line. We're just going to be tolerant of everything. Can I tell you what it really is? It's nothing but compromise. It is not having authority. There are people today that want to, say, "Well, you know what? It's okay that men love men in the sense that men want to marry men and women want to marry women, and it's okay for that." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Those people need Jesus Christ, and we ought to have compassion and love upon them. But the Bible says it is an abomination. That's what God's word says. We ought not to be hateful about it. We ought not to be mean-spirited about it, but we need to draw the line in the sand where God draws the line because he speaks with authority. Amen. We live in a day that is confused about gender. Folks, God's not confused about gender because he made them male and female. Right. We are not tolerant in the sense people say, "Well, you're just not tolerant." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. No, we speak with the authority of the Bible because his word has authority. By the way, something encouraged my wife and I while we were out. I mean, we went all the way to Canada. Banff, Canada is where we're at. I mean, we traveled literally across the United States up to West Canada. And we were there, and do you know what we saw? We saw families. We saw husbands and wives together. You know what? It almost seems we live in a world today where people want to talk about how big that the group that, wants to deny what truth true marriage is about, and one man and one woman and all that. Can I tell you, it is a very small group, but they are very loud. But you know what? God's people ought to speak the truth in love. And God's people ought to be the ones that are speaking with authority from the Bible. And that we're saying, this is what the Bible says. And we are standing where God stands on this issue. Because that is building on the right foundation. Amen. Jesus spoke with authority. Brethren, we have no authority unless we believe and hear and obey what the Word of God says. Oh, may God help us that we understand that Christ here spoke with authority. In fact, you know, we are living in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. When right is called wrong and wrong is known as right. But we need to decide as God's children that we are not going to be ashamed of what we believe that is spoken in the Word of God. That we're going to stand on the truth of God's Word. We do it in love. We do it in kindness. We do not do it in pride. We do not do it with a prejudiced nature. But we stand where God stands. Because I'm going to tell you something. That is the only foundation. It is the only foundation. Look, sometimes I watch lives, and they think they can build on a sand foundation. They think they can build and get away with it. But can I tell you what happens in the end? It falls. It will always fall. Because the only one with authority is what the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. By the way, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Luke chapter number 6 because I want you to see something. Luke chapter number 6, and let's begin in verse number 45. Now understand, back in Matthew chapter 7, that the person speaking in this parable is the Lord Himself, and He spoke with authority. He spoke with authority. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45, and I want you to notice this. Now, we see here that this is Luke's account of the same parable. So let's look at it because we'll find other, I guess, sides of this parable to help us understand. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house. And look at this. And dig deep. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently again upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now there's a few things that I want you to notice in this account. And brethren, let me say this to you. It is hypocritical on my part and on your part to condemn the people in Christ's day who listened and did not obey when we have the Word of God. Do you know they did not have the Word of God like we have it today? When we have the Word of God in our homes. By the way, most of us have multiple Bibles in our house. We have them in our cars. We have them all over the place. But it is hypocritical for us to say, look at these people. They heard Jesus speak and they did not obey. When we have the Bible in our hands and we have a great church to attend, and when we only hear, but we do not obey. Brethren, I want to ask you something. Is there some things right now in your life, you've heard them preach from this pulpit. You've read them in the Bible. You know that it is with the authority of who spoke them and Jesus Christ gave them to you, but you are not obeying. Can I tell you something? You are building on a foundation that is sand. It's not going to last. Brethren, we must know the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. But it's more than that. We must obey what God has told us to do. Is there any sin in your life this morning that you are not willing to confess and not willing to forsake? Then let me tell you something. You're building, but you're building on sand, and it will not last. You know, sometimes I look at families, I look at marriages, and sometimes, look, we live in a world today where marriages are not lasting. And can I tell you, that's some reason why I want to rejoice that God in His grace has helped my wife and I for 25 years. And I'm trusting Him for the next 25 years. And we're going ahead and getting ready for the next one, all right? 50 years, all right? It's coming. But can I tell you this? We ought to look upon that and say, thank God for that. Because that is God's design. That is the way God has it planned. And we live in a world today that we're almost says, well, if it doesn't work, we'll just get a divorce and do something different. But that is not God's design. And it is not building upon the right foundation. You notice in this passage that the Bible says that the man who built his house on the rock, notice what it says, he digged deep. Now, I want you to think about that just for a minute. Do you know what that took work? And it takes work to build the right kind of foundation. Do you know that that took labor? Do you know that that took sweat and toil? There was labor involved in that. It's easier to build on the earth. It's easier to build on the sand. It's easier to do that. I mean, you get results quicker that way. But can I tell you something? When we wait on God and we do it God's way and we trust God and look to Him by faith, we are building on the right foundation. Brethren, that is why your time alone with God and His Word is building on a good foundation. That's why your time spent in prayer is building on the right foundation. That's why your time coming to the house of God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're building on the right foundation. And let me tell you something. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have to come to three services. No, you don't have to. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to build the right kind of foundation, you're going to come to listen, to obey, because you're building your life. You're building. All of us are building. We see the person speaking. Number two, we see the principle stated. Now, there's a principle here. Now, Christ gives a principle about a foundation. And He says that the way to get a foundation is to hear and obey. To hear and obey. In fact, years ago, I heard about a preacher who, maybe you've heard about this, he got up and he preached a message one Sunday morning, and that night he preached the same message, and the people kind of thought, well, that's kind of different. But then Wednesday night, he preached the same message. The next Sunday, he preached the same message in the morning, and Sunday night, he preached the same message. And some of them came to him and said, Preacher, a great message, but do you have any other messages? He said, well, look, he said, when you all are willing to hear and obey, I'll preach another message. In fact, do you know something? I've heard enough that folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's been so much that I've heard that I have not obeyed. In fact, do you know the Bible often, why should we keep reading the Bible? Why should we keep hearing messages? Maybe you've heard them many times because repetition is the mother of all learning. And when we hear it and hear it, we are more apt to obey it. But when we obey, we are building on the right foundation. Listen, you don't build a good foundation just by hearing. You build the right foundation by doing what God has put in your heart. Folks, right now, what has God put on your heart that you have not obeyed? By the way, do you know to delay is disobedience? To delay obeying God is disobedience. Look, how many has ever, maybe you've come to church and God has spoken to your heart and you have left church thinking in your mind, I am going to do what the Word of God says. How many has ever had that before? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand the next time, but I wonder how many times we have forgot to obey. We had every good intention to obey, but we went about, life got busy, life got distracting, and we just didn't obey it. I had a man tell me years ago, he's now with the Lord, but he told me, he said, Preacher, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, he was close to his death, and he told me, and I'll not mention his name because he asked me to keep it private, but he said, Preacher, I have lived my life, and he was a good man. He said, I've lived my life. God has given me good success, but God called me to be a preacher years ago, and here I am on my deathbed, and I never obeyed what God gave me to do. That's a sad way to come to the end of your life, is it not? But folks, it is sad to go day by day with that. knowing that there are areas where we need to obey the Lord. We need to act in obedience, and it takes faith to obey the Lord. It takes courage, but if you will take the first step, God will enable you to do what He has given you to do. You see, the principle stated here is that some people build on the rock and some people build on the sand. And this rock is a type of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the only sure foundation today is to build your life on the truth of God's precious word. Let's take our Bibles. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want you to notice this passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And God talks about us building. Now, by the way, what does it mean for me to say, I want you to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ? And I want to be very clear about that. What does that mean? Well, folks, it simply means that you believe what God says in His Word to be true and to be final. It means that there is no way for the... we often want to say, well, is that really what God said? Is that not what the serpent did to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Hath God said? I mean, the serpent said, did God really say that? Are you sure about that? But to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe what He says in His Word to be true, but to believe that it is final, it is forever, and that it will never change. Folks, God's Word has never changed on what it teaches about sin. It's never changed. God's Word has never changed what it teaches about marriage and what it teaches about gender and what it teaches about church attendance and what it teaches about prayer and what it teaches about Bible study. God's Word has never changed. And when we build our life on the rock of Jesus Christ, we say, Pastor, this is true and this is final. And it will never change. You know, in fact, in our country today, people want to change the Constitution, do they not? They want to mess with the Constitution. Listen, one of the great secrets of the success of America was that America is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, built on the truth of God's Word. But there was a Constitution that was instituted. And the great secret of America's success is that. But you know what people want to do? They want to change it. Let's get rid of that. Let's distort it. Is that what it really meant? Well, people today want to change God's Word. But if you're going to build your life on Jesus Christ, it is that you're taking God at His Word. And no matter what the world is saying, no matter what your feelings say, you are building your life on the Word of God. Folks, the only sure foundation today is Jesus and Christ. Folks, heaven and earth will pass, but His Word will never pass away. His Word is settled forever. By the way, in every generation, there are people that are looking for new ideas. You know, the New Age movement. The New Age movement is just the old age trying to recreate itself. And there's nothing really new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But people look for new ideals and new ways. But folks, if you are a child of God this morning, then when you build your life on the truth of God's Word, you're not going to be blown around by the winds of confusion of this world. You are building your life on a sure foundation. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look in verse number 11. Look what it says. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones." That's the right kind of foundation. But look what it goes on to say. "Wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." We read on here. "If any man's work abide when he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Brethren, do you know what? The world wants to say, this is wise. This is the way you do it. You go against biblical authority. You will go against the Word of God. That's old-fashioned today. And God says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But when a man or a woman says, you know what? This is the Word. I am going to take it and believe it, and I'm going to obey it. Then the principle stated is that those who hear and obey are building on the right foundation. But those that do hear and do not obey, you're building on a sand foundation. Now, folks, let me say this to you. When the Spirit of God deals with you about things in your life, you know what we should do? We should immediately obey. And by the way, obedience is not simply doing His will. It is delighting in doing the will of God. That's real obedience. By the way, are there impressions that God has put on your heart? He's impressed upon you to do something. Now, by the way, be careful. I've had people say to me, God told me to tell you this, and what they told me was very unkind and very hurtful. And I'm sorry, but God never told you to do that. Don't use God as an excuse for your lack of kindness and compassion. But folks, when God puts something on your heart to do, you know something? You know it's from the Lord. And when you obey Him, can I tell you? You build on the right foundation. A foundation of obedience. But when God impresses on your heart to deal with some sin in your life, maybe to witness to some lost person, maybe to write that note of encouragement, or maybe to take that step of faith and that step of obedience. When you obey, can I tell you, you are building on a foundation that's going to last. By the way, the storms come to the saved and to the unsaved. The storms come to all Christians. The storms come to all non-believers. But the difference is the foundation. So we see the person speaking, he spoke with authority. The principle stated, but number three, the promise made. Here's a promise. Go back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 in closing. Matthew chapter 7. Now God gives us a promise. By the way, the promises of God's Word are everything. By the way, whatever God has promised, He has kept His promise. Have you ever made a promise before that you did not keep? How many would be honest and say, that's me, I've made a promise that I did not keep? By the way, do you know what? I've made some promises that I could not keep. Some people, we make promises that we cannot even keep. It's impossible to keep them. And we've all made promises that we forgot about. We did not keep. My children, when they were very young, they knew how to get my attention. You know, sometimes you tell children things that you forget about. Well, guess what? They remember. How many understands? How many parents know what I'm meaning? Yeah. You know what my kids would do sometimes? But Daddy, you promised. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep my word. You know what? You and I never have to say, God, you promised. We don't have to do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. He always keeps His promises. Amen. He never falters or fails in any of His promises. There's been times I've read through the Bible, and you know what the Lord has done to me? He has said, son, you see that promise? I have always kept that in your life. And He has. He has always kept His word. His promises. You can rest on His promises. Listen, I may make a promise to you that I cannot keep or that I forget to keep. But God has made promises in His word that He will always fulfill. And the promise made, look at it. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Here's the promise. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Here's the promise. And it fail not. Folks, can I tell you the promise is that it will not fail. You see, life, we stumble. Yes. Do we falter? Yes. Looking back over the 24 to 25 years that my wife and I have been married, there have been lots of times when I've had to ask my wife's forgiveness, where I was wrong, I was sinful, and I've had to ask her for forgiveness. But can I tell you something? We have tried, and we are still working by God's grace to build our marriage. By the way, God made us spirit, soul, and body. And that has to be built, spirit, soul, and body. And can I tell you something? We have worked by God's grace to build our marriage on the rock of Jesus Christ. And have we faltered? Yes. Have we struggled? Yes. But I thank be to God that it has not fallen. And brethren, the promise that God has made in His Word, when you and I build our foundation on Jesus Christ, we are hearing, not just hearing, but we are obeying, then it will not fall. By the way, you know what? Sometimes I think in our eagerness to give good counsel to people, sometimes we get bad counsel. Sometimes we say, look, just come to church. Just get in Sunday school. Join the choir. Start serving God and everything will be fine. But you know what? I don't think that's good counsel. What we need to say is, how is your relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus would be honored if you came to church faithfully? Do you believe that you can walk with the Lord by reading His Word and by praying? Do you believe? You see, it is all about our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Folks, that is really the bedrock foundation of our lives. And folks, there is much stumbling in life. There is slipping. None of us here, including myself, can say that we have never gone backslid on the Lord. None of us can say that. All of us can say there's been many times of repentance and cleansing and God putting us back on our feet and God putting us back on the right path. But let me tell you this. But God says if we are building on the right foundation, we are hearing, but we are doing what God says. God says the promise is that we will not fall. You see, if a person is not willing to do what God says for them to do, you can try to help that person all you want to, but I'm going to tell you something, it's going to fall. I remember young people in our teen group that, man, I would weep over that I tried to help. I warned them about their friendships. I warned them about the decisions that they were making. But you know what? It was, there's nothing I could do. Because it had to be them and God obeying God. It had to be them building on the right foundation. Parents, you know what? Listen, we can do so much for our kids, but really it comes down to our kids following Jesus Christ and obeying the Lord Jesus. And as a pastor, I can only do so much for you. And I can give you the truth of God's Word. But it must be you, you personally, between you and God, obeying what God has to say. Folks, the storms are coming. And they come to all people. But if you will be a hearer of the Word, and not, if you will be a doer of the Word, and not just a hearer of God's Word, then God has promised you that He will bring it to pass. He will allow your life to stand through those tests and trials of life. Maybe you say today, Pastor, I just can't. I can't. You folks, you do not have to live that kind of life. You just have to say, I'm going to take the first step of obedience in whatever God has told me to do. That's where you begin. You begin by obeying wherever God has spoken to your heart this morning. You hear and you obey and you follow through. And then when He speaks, you obey and follow through again. And can I tell you something? In time, you will build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, are you building on wood, hay, and stubble? Oh, you're building. You're building. I'm building. We're all building today. You never stop building. But if you're building on wood, hay, and stubble, I'm going to tell you something, that will not last. But if you're building on gold, silver, and precious stones, the right kind of foundation, the solid foundation, maybe there are things, maybe there's activities you're a part of, entertainment that you're a part of. things that you're allowing in your eye gate, your ear gate, things you're talking about, friendships that you've encountered, and you know they're not the right kind of foundation, then this morning, God has spoken to your heart. Confess it and forsake it and obey the Lord. And I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll begin to build on that foundation that is none other than Jesus Christ. Now this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then can I tell you the first step for you is the Bible says you must be born again. You hear and you obey and you turn to Jesus Christ. And when you turn to Him, He'll save you, He'll cleanse you, and He'll make you a part of His family. I want us to bow our heads this morning in prayer. May God help us. Father, I thank You for the privilege to preach. And Lord, my heart has been stirred today about things in my own life, Lord, that I've heard that I don't obey. And Lord, I pray You'll convict us even now. Help us this morning, Father. You know that we are building, and Lord, some people here are building on a bad foundation. It's not going to last. I know there's many that are building on a good foundation, but God, may we be reminded of this truth. And may we inspect our foundation today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest this morning and say, "Preacher, God has dealt with me and there are some areas in my life where I know that I'm building on a sand foundation, a wrong foundation, and I know it. And God has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it by?" That's me, Pastor. That's me. Amen. Thank you all over. You're building on a faulty foundation. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. Let God do the demolition work in your life and tear down those faulty foundation. How many today would say, "Pastor, God has spoken to me about something that I've heard, that He has impressed upon my heart that I need to act in obedience"? Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand and hold it high? That's me, preacher. Amen. I need to act in obedience. Well, today, obey. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'll get to it." No, today you obey. You know how you begin today? By coming to this altar and by presenting your life as a sacrifice to the Lord. Say, "Lord, my life is Yours. My body is the temple. It's Your temple. And I will obey." Let's stand together, would you please? And I'd like to finish this prayer. And then it is time for us to not just hear, but to obey. Let's follow the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, it's an honor to be able to preach to Your people. I've missed preaching. And I thank You today that You speak to our hearts. And I pray that we would not just hear, but that we would obey. Father, deal with folks today. Lord, I don't know what You put on their heart. I don't know the areas that they need to obey. But Lord, You know. And I pray that they would act in obedience, that they can build on the right foundation, the foundation of You. Lord, may we love You and may we know You and follow Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals this morning and we'll go to hymn number 601, "How Firm a Foundation." Well, that foundation is Jesus. But if God has spoken to you this morning, put your hymn book down, find a place to pray, and let's seek the Lord. Let's sing it together. Hymn number 601, "How Firm a Foundation."
here today, and I want to thank for your attendance and your attention this morning. And I pray you'll be back tonight. We're going to hear from lots of teenagers. We had teens saved, our own teens here, and teens surrender the call to preach and be a missionary. It's going to be exciting. So don't miss tonight. My son Caleb will be preaching this evening. He's our intern, so we've had him preaching throughout. And I think tonight will be a special kind of youth service. And so I want to ask you to come and be here this evening. And Brother Stephen's going to come and close this word of prayer. My wife and I, we're going to greet you on the way out today. You know, when we were out, so many people, they said to her, not to me, "You don't look like you've been married 25 years. They said that to her, you know. I got bitter. I'm trying to deal with it, all right? But anyway, I agree with them. So Brother Stephen, come and close this in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and Lord, we thank you that in you we have a sure foundation, and I pray, Lord, that we would put our eyes upon you and put our feet upon the rock that is planted. And Lord, I thank you for this message, and I pray that you continue to work in our hearts, that we may grow to be able to serve you with all of our heart and to have our mind wrapped around the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with this evening service. Thank you for what you've done this last week, and I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.